these are the new look Browns, really overhauled in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think the key number you take away are 42 of the 53 on this roster have been added in the last 2 years. So you've got a couple of veteran holdovers and Joe Thomas, and even now talking about Christian Kirksey, he's a veteran. But just a lot of moves have been made to get this roster to where it is. And a lot of guys have added in the last year, both whether it be free agency or the draft, with having 20 players in the last two draft classes on this 53-man roster.
All right, let's take a look at the 53-man roster. Now we'll start with the specialist, Britton Colquitt, back as the punter, Charlie Hewlett, the long snapper, and the kicking competition won by the rookie, Zane Gonzalez.
I think it was a tight one, and I think talking to Hugh Jackson earlier today, he admitted that this could have gone either
way.
And I think it helps when you're the guy that gets drafted. I think that helps. It gives you a little bit of an advantage, but they were going to go objectively with this and evaluate it. I think two key things worked in Zane Gonzalez's favor. Both involves his big leg. Made the 53-yarder on Thursday with plenty to spare every time he had a kickoff and just blasted it out of the end zone.
Yeah,
that's a big factor.
That's a weapon. They didn't return a single one of his kicks, all of them pretty much out of the back of the end zone. And on that 53-yarder, it was windy in Chicago. I was on the field. Plenty of leg, a great kick. And even the one he missed in Tampa, the 55-yarder, was absolutely crushed. Could have been good for more than 60 yards. So it gives you a little bit of a weapon there. And again, Cody Parkey did absolutely nothing wrong. It wasn't a case of Cody Parkey losing the job and needing to go. I'm sure he'll land somewhere else after a very strong preseason. All right, the Browns divvied it up evenly. 25 on the offense, 25 on the defense. We'll start with the offense. Three quarterbacks making the roster. Of course, the starter, DeShone Kizer, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan. Brock Osweiler released, and rumors are he's going back to the Broncos.
Yeah, it's easily the youngest quarterbacks room in the entire NFL. I think we had an idea of that going in, and that was including Brock Osweiler. Now it's very young, and I think a lot of this had to do with Kevin Hogan playing his butt off in the last two preseason games.
Yeah.
I think he just played with a lot of confidence. Really no mention yet of what the backup order is behind DeShone Kizer. We'll maybe learn more about that in a couple of days, but Hogan certainly played himself into this discussion where he could truly enter the season as a backup quarterback.
My guess is we'll probably find out when the inactives are announced for week one against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if there's much to talk about. And, hey, let's hope for once the Browns don't even need a backup quarterback in this season. It would be the first time in Joe Thomas's career, hopefully, if DeShone Kizer could go wire to wire. Joe Thomas has had one quarterback for 16 games. That's amazing when you think about it. All right, running back room, no surprises here whatsoever. Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, and the rookie Matthew Days, who played very well all preseason, and Danny Vitale is your fullback, which means probably that his ankle is in better shape than maybe people were thinking.
Right, I think the key takeaway from that is that J.P. Holtz was released, and I
yep.
think he was Danny Vitale's backup, so they must be feeling good about his ankle. He's an important part of this offense, and I don't know if it gets talked about enough. Matthew Days was the second-to-last pick in the entire draft. Not many second-to-last picks even get a shot at making the 53-man roster. He made it with plenty to spare. I mean, he made it clear from the day he got here. He had a spot that belonged, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use him. Is he going to be maybe more of a true backup and seeing Duke Johnson use more as a receiver, or is he really going to be the third back?
Hey, he's a guy who's shown the ability to run the football. He's got a nice spin move. We've seen that. And he certainly can catch the football with some wiggle in the open field. And now you talked about Day. You talked about Zane Gonzalez, both seventh-round picks. Both made this roster. 9 of the 10 Browns rookies made the team, the lone exception being Howard Wilson, who did not make the team, but he's on the physically unable to perform list with that knee injury that happened very early on in the offseason.
Yeah, we'll see when he can come back, if he is going to come back at some point this season. Again, that's a defensive backstrom that can use all the help it can get, probably.
Yeah, and with him being on the PUP list, he's out for a minimum of the first 6 weeks and then would be eligible to return to practice, could get back going there sometime in the middle of the season. So we keep going on the offensive tight end room. Again, no surprises here. Randall Telfer, the veteran. Then you've got David Njoku, the first-round pick who made it this year. And then your third tight end, Seth Duval, the guy out of Princeton who's shown a lot of flashes as a pass catcher in this offense.
Yeah, again, very young. Randall Telfer's only a third-year player, but it feels like he's been here 10 years. I mean, because he's just so much more of a veteran than those other guys. And it's just going to be interesting to see how all three are used. I think all three are going to be used regularly. I don't think you're going to see much of a differentiation in snaps.
So for the offensive line, 10 guys on the roster right now. I would expect that will change significantly over the next 72 hours. And I'd say probably maybe not the biggest surprise. One of them certainly came in the offensive line room when John Greco was released. And I think if you go back to that Chicago game and you notice Marcus Martin was in street clothes hanging out with Joe Thomas the whole time, maybe we should have seen the writing on the wall. He would be that kind of center guard interior lineman. But for now, 10 guys are on this roster. You have your starters, obviously, Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, J.C. Treader, Kevin Zeitler, Sean Coleman. Then on the outside, Rod Johnson has made this team, and I'll get to you in a second on him. Zach Starrett, the big 6'9 tackle on the team, for now. In the interior, you have Austin Ryder, who was the center, started against Washington last year, suffered an ACL injury in that game. The team was high on him. Marcus Martin, the former third-round pick of the 49ers out of USC, who has played center in the NFL and guard, and I think he's really, if you look for a reason why they decided John Greco isn't going to be here anymore, it's their comfort in Martin, who can fill that role as a center guard and is a younger player. And then, of course, Spencer Drango, last year's fifth-round pick, making the team as well.
Yeah, Drango's got some tackle flexibility as well if you need that. I think Marcus Martin is probably maybe your true first lineman off the bench, whether it be at center or guard. He did a really good job adjusting to the guard position. He knew he had to do that to make this team. And then maybe if Jess Treader went down, then maybe you do go with Austin Ryder. Maybe he is the guy that is your true backup center, even though Martin has the capability to do it.
All right, we talked about Rod Johnson earlier. On the 53 for now, that could change.
Yeah, we'll see in the coming days. It just depends on the severity of the knee injury. You've got some options there with kind of injury status. You also have the injured reserve return designation that you don't have to put on a player early, but you can do it later. You get two of those this year, not one.
All right, let's go to the wide receiver room now. Five guys on the roster, Coleman and Britt, those were the locks. Sammy Coates acquired in a trade today, and Sammy Coates, what he brings to this team, not only a good special teams player, but he brings speed. And I know Hugh Jackson, you look at his offenses historically, he likes to have a burner. Sammy Coates is that guy. Now, he's had problems catching the ball. That's why he was able to be acquired for a pretty cheap trade here. But in terms of speed, this is a guy that was very productive early in the year last year before breaking his fingers. We'll see where he's at. But, again, he brings speed on the outside.
Yeah, and if you're looking for reasons why you go away from guys like Jordan Leslie and Rennell Hall, who produced big time during the preseason and might land somewhere else or might come back on a practice squad, that's just an element that wasn't there in that current as-constructed group. And I think it's just going to be interesting to see how you use these guys. Is Ricardo Lewis the fourth receiver? Is he the third receiver? Where is Rashard Higgins fit in all this? It's a room that really needs to step up. I think that's the key takeaway from training camp preseason. The Browns need more out of that group, and they need to help their young quarterback.
Yeah, and so that leaves you with your fourth and fifth receivers. You talked about Ricardo Lewis and Rashard Higgins, both draft picks from a year ago, do make this team. Jordan Payton, a draft pick from a year ago, does not. Nor do Jordan Leslie or Rennell Hall, who are the most productive receivers for the Browns in the preseason. It kind of goes back to that old saying, it helps to be a draft pick of the current regime, and I think that's why you get a little bit of a benefit of the doubt from Lewis and Higgins, but both guys need to step up if they want to be here long-term, and I wouldn't be surprised still if somebody else is added to that wide receiver room.
Yeah, it just all depends on who gets released over the next couple hours. I think there's a lot to go through for this group with Sashi and Andrew Berry. The pro groups have been analyzing these guys all preseason. They know who they like. It's just a matter of if they're willing to pull a trigger on a guy who is really, even though they've watched them on film, still an unknown. You've never had him in your building. You got to bring him in and let go of a guy who you know a lot about, who's been on your roster for a while.
Okay, so we will see what happens there. But those are your 25 on offense. Again, the number of 10 offensive linemen, that number will change, I would say, probably by two in the coming days. So something to keep an eye on there. Now, 25 also on the defense. We'll start on the defensive line. 10 defensive linemen. We'll look at the defensive ends. Obviously, of course, Miles Garrett, Agba, and Nassib are here. Nate Orchard, who played very well in the first preseason game, but he's been banged up the last couple of weeks, made the team, the former second-round pick out of Utah. And then Tyrone Holmes, who really has been the star of the preseason. 3 sacks for Holmes. He makes the team, and I thought had a very, very good camp.
Yeah, really took advantage of the injury that really saddled Cam Johnson, really took him out of the mix. You got to remember, Cam Johnson was a first-team defensive lineman going back to OTAs, going back to the start of training camp. And Holmes flashed a lot last year. This might be a defense that's better suited for what he can do as a pass-rushing defensive lineman. It's just a group that really, the big story for me out of training camp, outside of Miles Garrett perhaps being one of the best players in this entire team, is the fact that Trevin Coley not only worked his way up to a spot where he'd make the 53-man roster, he might be a starter. And I think and that kind of helped you make the decision on a guy like Desmond Bryant.
Yeah, and certainly we go to that defensive tackle room. There are going to be 5 guys in there as well. Danny Shelton, Trevon Coley, who you talked about, Jamie Meter, the Pierogi Prince of Parma, makes the team again. And the 2 rookies, Larry Ogunjobi and Caleb Brantley, former third-round pick Xavier Cooper, did not make the team.
Yeah, Ogunjobi's a player I've been watching a lot these last couple weeks who's really ascended. I think he's going to have a significant role, whereas a couple weeks ago you might not have said the same thing. I think he's gotten more comfortable in this defense, and he's certainly going to be a part of that rotation.
And it was good to see Caleb Brantley out there, who certainly flashed against the Bears in his preseason finale there against the Chicago Bears. Now you go to the linebacker room. This is a room typically in a 4-3 defense. You got at least 6 guys in here. I would expect if there is a move, another linebacker could be added. You do not have a backup Mike linebacker at this time. You got your 3 starters. You've got Collins. You've got Kirksey. You've got Schobert. Your backups right now, Dominic Alexander, who was with the team last year, who's had a very good camp, core special teams guy, and then James Burgess, who I think has had a great preseason. physical. He's your backup Sam linebacker. I still think they will add a backup Mike linebacker.
Yeah, and I guess in a pinch, maybe Alexander could be your backup Mike linebacker. And I think with the way they train these guys, if Schobert went down, it wouldn't surprise you if you see Jamie Collins or Christian Kirksey lining up in those spots. So the versatility is key there. But I just think the way this looks to me when I see five guys in that roster, Jamie Collins, Christian Kirksey are going to be on the field every snap. I think that's the way it looks right now.
You're paying them to be there.
Those are your guys that are going to be out there. I think that you're comfortable with those guys and two of the most irreplaceable players on the team.
No question about it. Now we go to the defensive backfield. 10 guys making it in the defensive backfield as well. Your cornerbacks, you've got Jamar Taylor, Brian Body Calhoun, and Jason McCourty. And then you've got Darius Hillary and Marcus Burley. And Burley, a guy you picked up after the 53 cut last year, like Brian Body Calhoun, and Darius Hillary out of Wisconsin, where he started 40 games, which is a Badgers record. He's been the fourth corner basically all offseason, and he stays there now.
Yeah, and I think Burley got healthy at the right time. That helped him make this roster, and I think his ability on special teams helped him solidify a spot as well. It's just they're going to be counting a lot on those guys. When you say goodbye to a guy like Joe Hayden, these guys need to step up. I think talking to Hugh Jackson earlier today, I think he made a specific point. He looks at Body Calhoun and saying he has real talent. I think that it's not – you don't look at how he was undrafted, how he was brought here via waivers. This is a real deal cornerback, and I think had a lot to do with allowing this front office to be comfortable releasing Joe Hayden.
No question. Najee Murray, a guy that a lot of people liked. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back here on the practice squad if he clears waivers. Now, you went into the end of the season, end of the preseason, with five safeties basically on your roster. All five of them have made the team, and we're looking at your starters, Jabril Peppers and Derek Kindred. Ibrahim Campbell makes the team, as does Calvin Pryor, who was acquired in that trade, and I thought really came on as the preseason went on. Very good special teams guy, showed great physical guy in the run game, and then had that big safety in the last game. And then Kai Nakua, the undrafted free agent, he's the one that stands out, the undrafted free agent, to make the team from this year's undrafted class. The free safety out of BYU had 14 interceptions, just has a nose for the ball, and one of the personnel people told me it reminds them a lot of a young Jordan Payton.
Yeah, I mean, and you have the odds stacked against him. I mean, you have a lot of guys that were drafted in these recent classes. You acquired Calvin Pryor in a trade where you got
Jordan
let go.
Jordan Poyer, I meant, by the way. Jordan Poyer, sorry.
Where you let go of a player like DeMario Davis, a starter on your defense last year. So Calvin Pryor comes in. You look at Nakua, undrafted guy, he's like, oh, you're probably thinking he's going on the practice squad, but he made play after play and forced them to keep him on this team. And I think he is more of your true center fielder type safety, where a lot of these other guys are really physical, maybe lean toward in the box type guys. But as we've seen from Jabril Peppers, you can do it both.
Yeah, he's doing it all. But I mean, Kindred was drafted to be a strong safety. Ibrahim Campbell was drafted to be a strong safety. Calvin Pryor was drafted to be a strong safety. And I met Peppers initially maybe been drafted to be a strong safety. So Nakua has a unique skill set in that group. So that's the Browns 53 as of right now. From a procedural standpoint, Gribbs, everybody's announcing their cuts. The Browns will have first dibs on everybody who is waived. So those are players 3 years or less in the league. The veterans who were cut, the vested veterans, their contracts are quote-unquote terminated. Those guys are basically free agents at this point and can sign with any team. But for the waiver claims, the Browns get their first pick of anybody that they want, and that goes through noon tomorrow.
Yeah, last year they made five. Three of them are still on the 53-man roster in Tyrone Holmes, Brian Body Calhoun, and Marcus Burley. So these are important pickups. They might not be immediate starters or anything like that, but back end of the roster, special teams guys are important. And then obviously on the same day, you're settling your practice squad as well.
Yep, and they will get that done at 1 o'clock tomorrow. For all the latest on that, keep it tuned to cleanbrowns.com and the Browns mobile app.